Good evening, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk on this Thursday. Scott Beatty here alongside Matt Daniels, taking you till 6 o'clock. We are live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Join us 2001 South Neal. We're getting things going here for another evening. Your home for beers, burgers, and sports, Scotty's Brewhouse. We have got some tickets to give away to the Harlem Globetrotters, so come on up and sign up for those as well. Globetrotters are in town tomorrow night. You going to see that, Matt?
I don't think so. I have to work. But I wouldn't mind seeing them if I didn't have to work. But it's a very entertaining show before, and I've seen it before. I was entertained. I was also six when I saw it. But
the last two seasons have been disappointing for the Cardinals. So will they turn it around in 2018? I'm Jason Gotch, and the Gotch Files are next.
This is a taxpayer.
We have a pack of four for you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, the Harlem Globetrotters. Which is more likely, Harlem Globetrotters to win or Illinois basketball tomorrow night?
There you go, Scott. I think the Globetrotters are definitely going to win. Illinois.
Are you going to put that prediction in the paper?
The Globetrotters?
Yeah.
No. But I did put a prediction in Friday's News Gazette, and I'm predicting that Illinois is going to win on Friday night. So we'll see if that happens. And our beat writer, Scott Ritchie, who will be up in Madison tomorrow at the Kohl Center, is also predicting an Illinois win.
If there was ever a time when Wisconsin was vulnerable at home,
this is it.
This is the year. Every year you say Wisconsin, oh, they're not good. They're going to turn it around. They always do. Well, they haven't really turned it around.
No, they're definitely struggling this year. And Greg Gard has got a very young, youthful roster, obviously led by Ethan Happ, an Illinois native who played his high school basketball out at Rock Ridge High School in the Quad Cities. And he's kind of a throwback big for the Badgers, has not made a three-pointer in his career yet, has scored more than 1,000 points so far in his first three seasons with Wisconsin. Everything kind of revolves around him this year. I know Brad Underwood talked today about how Happ is even initiating the offense more so this year, and they just got trounced the other night at Purdue. Nothing to hang their head about since the Boilermakers are one of the top teams in the country right now, one of the hottest right now, having won 14 straight, but he was the only one to finish in double figures. And going back to the point about how Madison and the Kohl Center is kind of a house of horrors for Illinois. The current freshmen that are on the Illinois roster were in sixth grade the last time Illinois won up in Madison. So they went pretty much their entire middle school time and entire high school time not seeing Illinois win up in Wisconsin.
Tijon Lucas will be back. Brad Underwood said that today. He was suspended for two games for undisclosed team violations. Usually more than one game means something more than being late to a practice or something like that. But we've seen longer ones, too, for more substantial issues. So don't know exactly what he did. He said he'll be available as needed. Tijon's been passed up by Trent Frazier, and Trent Frazier's become the man on this team.
Yeah, exactly. And you think back to their Big Ten opener up in Rosemont that first Friday night in December against Northwestern. That seems like eons ago. But Tijon Lucas was the guy that had the ball late in the game for Illinois and was trying to make a play. And Trent Frazier went scoreless against Northwestern in that game, and now the roles are reversed. Trent Frazier is their go-to guy on offense, not only initiating it, but also knocking down some outside shots and getting other players involved. And like you said, Lucas is kind of taking a back seat. Milwaukee native, so it's a return to his home state tomorrow night. We'll see how many minutes he gets and what his role is, but yeah, he's definitely slid down the depth chart here in the last month.
Well, Illinois has to get something going besides just Trent Frazier and LaRon Black, because defenses are going to rightly key on them. Mm-hmm. And Trent Frazier, for the most part, has proven his worth in the midst of that. But you have to have somebody else score besides just your point guard and LaRon Black.
Yeah, and they had that a little bit on Monday night out in Lincoln against Nebraska, with Michael Finke having a solid game again. He kind of got out of the rut that he was on once Big Ten play resumed earlier this month. Had 16 points and 10 rebounds for a second double-double of the season. But, yeah, you need that third and fourth guy scoring. And, you know, I know Mark Allstart came in with a lot of hype and expectations, and based on his past success scoring the ball at Wright State and Ball State. And he hasn't produced offensively the way I think a lot of people thought that he would. Now he has proven a very capable defender. I know Brad Underwood singled him out several times for his effort on the defensive end and how he contributes in that phase. But you'd like to see him get going. I'd like to see Mark Smith get going as well. I know the flu bug went rampant through the team in the past week and a half or so, and I know Smith was hit pretty hard with it, maybe hardest of all the Illini players, but had some flashes early in non-conference play. The DePaul game in November where he had 21 points comes to mind, and I started off real well against Missouri in the bragging rights game, and it's just he's a freshman that has gone through the ups and downs of a freshman season. And Trent Frazier has struggled at times earlier this year, but once Big Ten plays gotten back around and in the swing of things, he's really just taking control of this team. And you'd like to see Mark Smith get some of that that confidence, that swagger back that he played with his senior season at Edwardsville, which led him to become Mr. Basketball and produce an exceptional end to his high school career. And he's still trying to find that that role on this year's Illinois team.
If you want to join us, you can. We have some time on the phone line, 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling. Text line 351-5357. Matt, I've been speaking of flu bug. I was just flattened by the flu bug yesterday. And so air hugs on
right,
the air.
I will,
air
hugs on the air. I'll make sure to scoot to the end of the table here and maybe sit next to Blake.
Blake Landa, our producer engineer. You know how when you have sometimes you're sick, you kind of dream weird you're sick. You know, you kind of have funky dreams. You don't sleep as well. So I had this dream. I assume it was a dream. It was weird. I dreamed that two Illinois quarterbacks left the program at once. And I figured, like, that is some weird stuff going on in my head.
No, that actually happened.
Oh.
Yeah. No, Thursday or Wednesday afternoon, saw Jeff George Jr. and Chase Crouch both take to their social media accounts within a few hours of one another and post long notes explaining their various reasons for why they are going to be playing football for Illinois. George is going to transfer to another school and have 2 years of eligibility to play there. And Crouch is no longer going to play football, it seems like that. So, yeah, it's the depth at the most important position on a football team, and no matter where it's at, certainly taking a hit for Illinois. And now, right now, as we sit here on Thursday, January 18th, 2018, Illinois has one quarterback on scholarship, and that's Cam Thomas.
That's Cam Thomas. Now, MJ Rivers is coming here, maybe Grant Taylor, but yeah, Illinois has a depth issue now at quarterback. But I want to say this, especially for Chase Crouch. I mean, there's a guy who just gave, and Jeff George did too.
Yeah.
That's, you know, but I guess we got closer to Chase Crouch a little bit over the years. He gave everything, and I feel for the guy. I also applaud somebody who says, I'm going to give it up if they're not willing to do what's necessary. I mean, there are athletes out there that are just taking the scholarship and doing the bare minimum. Chase Crouch apparently he's man enough to say, if I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah,
and move on.
I remember I've known Chase since he was a junior in high school over at Newark Catholic in Central Ohio, and when he committed to Illinois there late in his junior year of high school, and he was, you know, amped up, ready to go. I remember talking to him a few times right after he committed, and he sounded like a polished kid, you know, mature beyond his years. He was a three-sport athlete in high school and came here to play football at Illinois and be the starting quarterback and be the guy that kind of would help lead a resurgence in the program. And a lot of other factors outside of his control took place during his time at Illinois. He was recruited by Bill Cubitt, the offensive coordinator, and Tim Beckman was his first coach. I remember talking to Chase when he enrolled early at Illinois and should have still been in high school. And one of the questions I asked him and the rest of the recruits that day when I talked to him, I said, you know, are you starting the season opener? And I think it was for the 2013 or 14 season. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But he said, yes, without a doubt. He always had confidence, always had kind of a swagger about him, and you saw that confidence just really increase going back to last year at this time when Wes Lunt had graduated and Chase was coming off that shoulder surgery, and he felt that, you know, this was going to be his team and he was going to really help turn around the program and maybe get him back to a bowl game, and that just didn't happen. He struggled throwing the ball in the first month of the season, and that aspect of that we thought a lot of people thought he would add just with his feet and his ability to affect the game on the ground just didn't materialize at all, and then he struggled and was replaced and then switched positions and then started again at Ohio State. So yeah, I wish him nothing but the best moving forward. Though he was a great representative of Illinois never caused them any embarrassment off the field or anything like that. No. And always
well, I think the opposite. I think he was a good ambassador for Illinois. I think he had everything they wanted in a football player except somebody who could perform on the field.
Yeah, exactly. And Jeff George Jr. the same way. You know, a lot of kind of interest around him when he signed with Illinois, just based on the fact who his father is, and Jeff George, you know, the only number one pick in Illinois football history.
Yeah,
really
that's what's
draft.
Troubling about that. You know, I mean, I realize how Jeff George doesn't fit and wasn't getting it done, but you just wanted to see that legacy work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look back to this past August and training camp practices, and Jeff George Sr. was out there at all of them, and I know even when Jeff George Jr. was redshirting, he was a vocal, he was a very visible presence. You'd see him at practice. He would try to kind of stay in the background, didn't want to have all the spotlight on him, and rightfully so. But, yeah, Jeff George Jr. Had his moments at Illinois. He's the last Illinois quarterback to lead Illinois to a Big Ten win. did that against Michigan State late in the 2016 season, and had some of his, some good moments at Illinois. Obviously, some ones he'd like to have back. But I think any you could look back to his first start at Illinois, gets thrust to start at Michigan after injuries to Wes Lunt and Chase Crouch in consecutive weeks, and then he struggles mightily against a very very good Michigan defense in front of 112,000 people at the Big House, and had a bad game at Wisconsin later that year. And but he always approached it the same way, of just working hard and trying to help the team any way he could. And he knew he was always one snap away, one play away from being the guy. And he was always ready and prepared. And just like Chase, you wish him nothing but the best, and that he finds a program that suits what he's looking for and somewhere where he can go and contribute his final two seasons.
We are live at Scotty's Brew House here, 2001 South Neal. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels here with you. Evan Clark is going to join us later on. He's head coach of the women's tennis program here at Illinois. We're looking forward to talking with him, spotlighting them as their season is about to start. Believe it or not, spring sports are opening up.
I'm driving over here to Scotty's tonight. I thought about that, Scott, because we started doing the show here, what, about 6-7 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And it was pitch dark when I'd get here about 5 or so, and driving here, it's still kind of light out, so that means spring is almost here.
That's just the freight train going by.
That's okay. It's light.
Join us here every Thursday, by the way, here at Scotty's. You can enjoy $2 well drinks and half-price cheese pizza and $2 cans of select beers. I also just saw a tray of very good-looking appetizers.
And they have 64 TVs here.
60, did you go count them?
I was told that about a month ago. It's very impressive.
Yeah, we are surrounded by 17 of them right now.
It's
I'm not distracted
more than
at all.
It's 60 more than I have in my own house, so I'm
4 is a little too much.
I actually only have roughly I have 2, I think.
Well, you just said 4. Which is it?
We have 2 televisions and a number of tablets as well that my 2.5-year-old daughter commandeers.
Do you have the TV in the bedroom?
Yes.
See, that was outlawed on day 1 of
really?
The marriage. No TV in the bedroom, and that's I sometimes like the TV to fall asleep with.
Yeah.
And I don't I'm curious to know like how many people have the TV in the bedroom.
I don't know. Maybe we can take a poll. Have people
new
call
listener
in.
Paul poll. Should the TV be in the bedroom? And who gets control of that TV?
The wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's late and you want to watch a sports thing or something,
just wait until she falls asleep.
Too bad. So sad. That's how that is.
I'm usually working late anyway.
Who's the next offensive coordinator going to be for Illinois football? We're going to talk about that. Another name surfacing here today amongst some reports. I got some other things to get into. You can certainly join us as well. Evan Clark coming up also. We're off and running. It's Sports Talk here at Scotty's Brew House in Champaign. Sports Talk rolling along. We're at Scotty's Brew House here in Champaign, 2001 South Neal. The perfect place to watch all the sports you want. There's craft beer. There's 36 beers on tap, 64, as Matt Daniels pointed out, 64 large date screen TVs to watch any event of your choice. They got the BTN Plus package, so if you're into some of the games that are on there, you can come find those here as well. All right, Matt's offensive coordinator. There is not one yet named for Illinois football, and that is what?
A little puzzling. I don't know if it's concerning since they don't snap the ball for real or kick off in a real game until September 1st later this year against Kent State. But You'd like to have not only an offensive coordinator, but also another assistant coach. I know they let two assistant coaches go with Garrick McGee, a former offensive coordinator, and Paul Williams, a former defensive backs coach, and they're going to be able to add a 10th assistant coach as well. So you've got three staff positions, three on-the-field staff positions that Lovie Smith needs to fill. And the next signing period's coming up in a few weeks, so you'd really like to have your offensive coordinator in place to be able to help out on the recruiting front to wrap up the 2018 class. And spring ball is going to be here before we know it in about 6 weeks or so, and you're going to have to learn a whole new system. And even with Cam Thomas coming back, he's going to have to learn his second offensive system in as many seasons as a college quarterback, and that's never an easy thing. And yeah, it's you'd like to get one in here as soon as possible.
FootballScoop.com today says, sources tell Football Scoop former Arizona co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Rod Smith is a very strong candidate to become Lovie Smith's offensive coordinator at Illinois, although at this time we don't believe anything formal is in place. Again, this could happen in the coming days. So that's according to Football Scoop, which has had some scoops before and of this nature. Rod Smith was at Arizona, or I guess – is possibly could stay there. Kevin Sumlin's still putting together his staff, and there's speculation that a few assistants would stay on, but it doesn't look likely that Rod Smith will stay there.
Yeah, he's a Rich Rodriguez disciple through and through, so I think he played for Rodriguez when Rodriguez was the coach at Glenville State. He's a West Virginia native and was a quarterbacks coach at Michigan for the three seasons that Rodriguez was there from 2008 to 2010, and we all know how that tenure ended in Ann Arbor for Rodriguez and his staff, not very good. He's been at Arizona in the past six seasons or so with Rodriguez, so he's a guy that's going to bring, if he does wind up here at Illinois, he'll bring a spread offense that's really kind of predicated, more balanced spread than just you know, typical four wideouts and go throw the ball 30 or 40 times. It's really going to incorporate the run game, whether that's with the quarterback and also the running back. So you've got quarterbacks in place and Cam Thomas and MJ Rivers who, you know, are those dual threat quarterbacks that Lovie Smith and his staff are looking for. And it would make sense then if you would bring a guy on like Rod Smith, given his background and his pedigree. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it all shakes out. And we've been hearing, too, that it could happen in the next few days.
Some overlap, according to his bio, in the areas that he's recruited. He's recruited Southern California and Orlando and some of the good JUCO schools out there in Arizona as well. Yeah, you mentioned his Big Ten background. Also worked a year at Urbana University, but that's not here.
That's
in Ohio. But he's a West Virginia native and has a master's as well from Urbana University. But again, that's in Ohio.
It's a huge, huge hire for Lovie Smith.
He's got to get it right.
You have to think. I mean, Lovie Smith's got a 6-year contract, and he's firmly in place. And Josh Whitman's had his back and full support of Lovie Smith during his time here, and will continue to do so, you know, moving forward. But
the thing is you thought you had the right guy in McGee when he hired him, and now you have to let him go. You can't just go get whoever. You have to go get whoever is available, and What you see is the resume. That's what we see. We see the experience and the resume, but what we don't necessarily see is how do things fit together, right? You know, when you go take a job, you're not only looking at what you get to do, but what's the culture, what's the climate, how am I going to work with my boss and all that kind of stuff. So you don't see all that behind-the-scenes stuff, the family dynamics and schools and all that. So
yeah,
it seems to me it's Rod Smith or Matt Canada.
Yeah, those are two of the bigger names that have been bandied about. And like you, going back to that point, it's just how they interact not only with you know, Lovie Smith, but also how they interact with all the other assistant coaches on the staff and how that dynamic works and how they interact with you know, the players and they're with the players on a more, you know, close-knit basis than Lovie Smith is, because he's got to kind of oversee the whole, you know, broad organization there. And, yeah, it's got to be a guy that fits and can do anything to help turn around what has been a pretty anemic offense the first two seasons in Lovie Smith's tenure. And he knows that he needs to get it corrected too, because you look at a guy like Garrick McGee. He came from Louisville, was a head coach at UAB as well, and has known Lovie Smith more than half of his life, and that's why he came to Illinois, is because of Lovie Smith and that personal connection. But then it speaks to Lovie Smith's kind of leadership style too, that he knew something wasn't working out. It wasn't going in the direction he thought it would, and he had
he wasn't going to be loyal to a fault.
Exactly. He had to make a change and do what's best for the program, and we'll see if it pays off.
Nathan Shieldhouse's name has been thrown around as maybe getting a promotion into the assistant coaching ranks here with this 10th coach that they can now add. The position on the U of I website was extended. Application was extended through, I think, the end of this week or through the weekend. So I don't know if that means nothing's going to get announced until next week. Maybe two out of the three. Maybe the offensive coordinator is in place and everything's hush-hush right now, and they're just filling the third position and they're going to announce all three at once. Maybe they're scrambling and are in panic mode. We don't know what's going on right now, except reportedly here Rod Smith is interviewed and presumably Matt Canada has as well.
Yeah, that speaks, I think, just to Lovie Smith's ability to keep things really close to the vest and not let things leak out or get out at all. I know we've been trying to find out for almost a month, what's going on with that offensive coordinator position, and it's a heavily scrutinized position, rightfully so. And Lovie Smith's a defensive-minded coach, so you've got to get a guy in here that's almost going to be like the head coach of the offense and really help turn around a unit that the last two seasons has been among the worst in the Big Ten.
We're at Scotty's Brew House here. It's another Thursday special here. $4 pints, $10 Bud Light pitchers. You can join us here at 2001 South Neal. And also every Monday through Thursday, Scotty's features $4 house margaritas as well. Giving away Globetrotters tickets. The Harlem Globetrotters are playing tomorrow night at the State Farm Center. Come up here and drop your name in the box for a chance to go see some Harlem Globetrotters. You'll probably see a victory. No Big Ten wins for Illinois football this year. No Big Ten wins for Illinois men's or women's basketball. I've been struggling with this. Is this a low point for where things are at? My first thought is actually no, even though it's bleak right now, because I think things are going to get better. They have to.
Yeah.
I mean, football has gone through this valley. At some point, things are going to get turned around. And basketball, they've been so close. You know, there's got to be a win. At some point, these guys got to catch a break.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm trying – I guess I'm going to paint the glass half full outlook right now. There's no off-the-field or off-the-court transgressions that are noticeable. Like, no scandals have plagued football like they did a few years ago. Same with women's basketball as well. And number of arrests for men's basketball, that's not a hot topic. They're just not getting it done on the court. And in terms of men's basketball, I mean, they've been in – you could easily argue and sit here and say they should be at least 3-3 in the Big Ten. Should have beaten Northwestern in the Big Ten opener up at Rosemont. Game won against Maryland here in Champaign on December 3rd. And, you know, they were 8 seconds away Monday night from – getting a road win at Nebraska, which is never an easy place to play, even given Nebraska's kind of tepid history of basketball. It's a very passionate fan base and a very new arena, and they fill it up pretty well. But, you could sit here and argue that they should be 3-3 in the Big Ten and maybe sitting there with a 13-6 record and maybe an outside chance at the NCAA tournament. Instead, they're at the bottom of the Big Ten and got to get a win. At some point, maybe it starts tomorrow night.
At some point, do you just say, it doesn't matter, as a fan right now? Do you just go, well, hey, I want to see them get better. I want to see these guys develop. But at this point, what you do is what you do, and it doesn't really matter because you're going to wait for next year for IO to get in and hope they find some sort of big to help things out and just look to the future.
Yeah, I mean, from a fan perspective, I'd have to put my fan hat on there, but I think there's obviously a lot of frustration, a lot of pent-up anger at times just because of the fact they are so close, and you want to win right now. You don't want to have to sit and wait.
Which is worse, being this close to seeing them be successful or
getting blown out
or
every
just watch
game.
It. You know, I take this. As frustrating it is,
yeah,
it's
the games
emotional
are, the
roller coaster.
Games, the games are entertaining. They're competitive. It's not like it's over by halftime or they're losing by 30 points. And they have played some entertaining, high scoring basketball games here in Big Ten play, but they're just not. You look at the Iowa. You could argue they could be 4-2 in the Big Ten if they just would have closed out Iowa. That's one that just escaped my mind. Just the complete lack of being able to finish off a team on your home court like they were.
We're living in a world now, though, where Rutgers is 20 points better than Iowa.
Yeah, Rutgers, though, they're I don't know. They come here to Champaign in less than 2 weeks. You know, Illinois got Wisconsin on Friday night, then they're home for a three-game stretch. They got Michigan State this upcoming Monday, and then Indiana next Wednesday, and then Rutgers on January 30th. And Rutgers is a scrappy little group. So
Corey Sanders,
Geo Baker, Deshaun Freeman, he of Illinois fame, infamous fame for hitting that three late last season out in Piscataway. But yeah, they're a scrappy bunch. I think they're going to give some other Big Ten teams some problems the rest of the way.
We're live at Scotty's Brewhouse, downtown, not downtown Champaign, that's where our studio is. 2001 South Neal, near where our old studio used to be. You can join us here. Scotty's Brewhouse does have a gluten-free menu if you have those kinds of needs. And it's your home for burgers, beers, and sports as well. Scotty's Brewhouse, come out and join us here. Evan Clark, Illinois women's tennis head coach, is going to join us in just a few minutes. We'll get a spotlight on that program as they're about to begin their season. Men's tennis is not too far behind as well. I want to let you know about something very important, though, right now. Whether you're a parent, a friend, a coworker, a boss, or a healthcare provider, it's important to know that the road to recovery is now more accessible than ever in Champaign County. For over 100 years, Rosecrans has been a national leader in addiction and mental health treatment. It's provided help, home, and lasting recovery to children, youth, adults, and families. Recovery from substance abuse and mental health disorders benefits everyone, the individual, the family, the community. Your loved one can regain the hope for a bright future that comes with recovery. It all starts on day one. Rosecrans now provides addiction treatment for teens and adults in Champaign County. Help yourself or someone you love take the first step toward recovery. For information or treatment referral, you can call them at 398-8080. That's 8080, 398-8080, or visit rosecrans.org. Most insurance is accepted. Life's waiting. Evan Clark with us next. It's Sports Talk. We are at Scotty's Brewhouse for Sports Talk. Scott Beatty here alongside Illini HQ and News Gazette sports editor Matt Daniels. Thanks for being along. If you want to go see the Harlem Globetrotters, stop by and just fill out your name and information, drop it in there. We'll draw winners for a four-pack to see the Globetrotters tomorrow night at the State Farm Center. Pleased to be joined now by Evan Clark, head coach of Illinois women's tennis. He is in his second season. Evan, good to have you. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming out. You get going tomorrow, or rather this weekend is what I meant to say. Tomorrow is the beginning of the weekend.
Scott had the flu earlier this week.
I am not at full. I'm questionable here on the injury report. I'm listed as questionable. FSU and EIU coming up this weekend.
Yep. EIU's my alma mater, so take it easy on them.
We'll do our best.
Preview a little bit of what's coming up for you guys this season.
Yeah, we're excited. It's my second year, and we feel like we were pretty close last year with the results that we had. So this year's expectations are higher. We had the top 10 recruiting class in the country that just came in. So we have four freshmen that have complimented our upperclassmen already and had a great fall. Lost a lot of close matches last year, very similar to kind of what men's basketball's, I think, doing right now. But up 3-1 on Ohio State. There were two in the country last year, up 3-1, lost 4-3 to them in the semis of the Big Ten tournament. So that's our last match. So it's kind of left that taste in our mouth. And I think the girls are excited and hungry for this season. But expectations are really high. I think we'll be a contender for the Big Ten championship and hopefully more.
Top 10 recruiting class, what's your secret?
Really lucky, really, really lucky. We've gotten really, really lucky with recruiting. We've all over the country, California, Florida, New York, a little bit of international, Japanese, a kid that came in this year that happened to be from Chicago, went to high school in Chicago, so really, really got lucky. But very academic kids as well, so we've really sold what the University of Illinois offers academically, and that matches up just tremendously with women's tennis historically, just what women's tennis student athlete looks like. And so we've been really, really pleased with how American recruiting's gone, and even recruiting moving forward looks really good as well.
How different is this for you going into your second season as the head coach compared to your rookie debut season at all?
Yeah, I think everybody's a little bit more comfortable. I inherited a team that, you know, none of the kids that I'd recruited. I'm very fortunate to have those kids are fantastic. And it's been nice to kind of have four new kids come in and complement those other kids. So I think it's helped everybody. It's helped me. It's helped the upperclassmen. They've actually have some freshmen now, whereas before we went 2 years basically with the same team. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of pumped some new life into the program, and everyone's doing really well.
Melissa Kopinski is now an assistant coach for you, and also just brought on Louise Kwong as a volunteer assistant. That must say something when people have been with the program and started with a different coach, want to stay on and work with you.
Sure, we couldn't be more excited to have Melissa and Louise. When the job came open, you know, I basically talked to one person. It was Melissa. Melissa has been a volunteer assistant at Texas Tech, and they're top 10 in the country right now. In the last 2 years, they've made the Elite Eight as well. So I had a very short period of time with Melissa when I came in here as the assistant, so I had maybe 3 months with her, but didn't have a whole lot of experience, but knew enough to know that she'd be an unbelievable fit, University of Illinois, and both her and Louise, and then obviously coaching Louise the last 2 years. She's played number one basically the last 2 years, was Big Ten first team, and both of them just understand the University of Illinois. They bleed blue and orange, and we couldn't be happier to have them on the staff.
Who do you expect to be working number one and number two and number three on the singles? In the conversation, how about
sure.
that? So I don't want to pin you down
sure.
if you don't
well,
want to.
It's
maybe
tough.
You haven't told them yet.
Oh, we have not told them yet. I'm the type of coach that we wait on that, and that will be a Sunday morning conversation. But it's interesting this year. We've been training for 2 weeks, and there's a lot of parity between the spots and the team. And there's some upperclassmen and some freshmen. They're all fighting kind of for some spots, and so it's going to be interesting. But I know whoever we put in and whatever spot they're going to go out and compete their butt off. And so we're kind of excited to see how that all works out.
Good answer. So if they're on the roster, they might be the number
one. Exactly right. Exactly right.
Evan, what's it like for you and the girls or the women in your program too? Just in terms of classes started back this week, and like you said, you had training for a few weeks. How do you just navigate the holiday time and the break and then starting your season right when the semester gets going here?
It's a really tough transition. I think our sport's unique because we have two seasons. We have mm-hmm. a fall and a spring, but they put the importance on the spring season as our championship season, but our fall season's really extensive. I mean, we went September to the middle of November and traveled all the time, and so it's really tough, and then we shut down around Thanksgiving, and then we can't work with them from December 7th or 8th until we bring them back. So
really?
We cannot work with them for a month.
Wow.
During Christmas break. So I don't know too many other sports like that where we send them home and then send them right back and expect to get into
Can
the
you
championship.
At least text them and say, you're practicing, right? You're practicing, right?
Yeah. We try to hold them as accountable as we can, but this group has done a fantastic job of working over break. But, yeah, it's a little unsettling as a coach, knowing you can't do anything with them for a month and they go home. And so, but they've done a great job, and we brought them back on January 8th. So we got a weekend before school started where we can practice as much as we want. So this is week two, and practices have been going pretty well. And then the classes start, and then the practices
You don't want them to go too well, right?
That's right. That's
you don't
right.
want them to go really that's well right. before you want it to have some rough stuff so you have some material to work with, right?
That's right. That's right. But, from Tuesday on this week, you can definitely tell that the level's gone down a little bit as they've started classes and understand that they're back in the real world, so to speak.
I remember when I was younger, I wasn't very good, but I dabbled in tennis. And I remember coming across this book. I was a head case. That's not hard
I'm
for
shocked.
Anybody to imagine, right? And somebody threw me this book, The Inner Game of Tennis.
Yeah.
And it was all about the mental side of this. And what's really hard about tennis and golf is it's just you. You know, I mean, obviously you have an opponent in tennis, but there's so much that's going on in your head there, and you don't really have anybody else to rely on the court.
Sure.
How much are you doing psychology out there as a tennis coach versus skill development and refinement? Because these are really good players already when they come in.
Right. No, it's very, very mental. And, you know, I would say, you know, certain days it's 75-80% mental at this level with, you know, the talent that we're getting. So I think even like Steve Kerr uses that book that you just mentioned with his players. So once again, it's a unique sport in college. They say it's a team sport, but it's really an individual sport as well. We've got six singles players playing at one time. So you have six different game plans. You have six different strengths and weaknesses, and then you have three doubles matches, and everybody's different. So there's not one big game plan. There's not one offense you can run. There's not one defense you can run. It's six different ones. And so matchups are become huge, and like you said, the mental side is it's tricky. It's a very, very mental, and you're out there by yourself. But college tennis is unique in that we can coach them, and pro tennis, they don't have coaches on changeovers. So It's nice, and so most of the time they listen to me, but there's occasionally where I'm sure they zone me out. But
what made you want to become a college tennis coach? Is this something in grade school you sat down and wrote that essay?
No. I played tennis since I was 6 or 7 years old, did the whole junior U.S. circuit, played college tennis, and was convinced I wanted to get out of tennis, and worked on Capitol Hill, actually, my first job. Worked for a congressman and worked for a senator. And about 4 months in, I realized tennis wasn't so bad, and I wanted to get out of D.C., so I got back into tennis, and I've been in it since. But I really enjoy the development, seeing the development from an 18 to 21-year-old kid over college and really helping them. I felt like I probably didn't do a great job in college of maximizing my potential, so I wanted to make sure I could reach those kids that kind of went going through the same thing I went through.
So do you guys have some good political debates on the Illinois women's tennis team?
We do not. We do not. That's one conversation in the van that is off limits, especially in this time and in this era. But, yeah, we don't talk politics, and that's probably for the best.
Does that surprise a lot of recruits or families at all when you bring that up, that you used to work on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, it doesn't come up a whole lot. It does surprise them, you know. I think it surprises my team more or less when they see me day to day and they can't imagine me doing anything else but coaching tennis. And I said, yeah, well, I tried something else. And so, but it was good for me to make me realize how important tennis was to me and definitely something I should be doing.
We're with Evan Clark here for just a few minutes longer. He's the Illinois women's head tennis coach. They open up the season on Sunday, 9:30 in the morning against FSU, and then EIU at 4 o'clock over at the Atkins Tennis Center. We got a chance earlier this year to talk to Kevin Anderson. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a major international tennis
player.
Star from South Africa. And he went to the University of Illinois, by the way. I don't know if you knew that either. But
I see his picture every day.
Yeah.
His banner. Yeah.
But he got some notoriety because not only obviously he made the finals, but he was one of the, I don't know, first, but took the college route.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that is becoming a part of the women's game too, where people are considering playing college and then going pro?
Yeah, of course. I think it's we've seen a little bit more success from the men's side just in general, but the women's side is. The trend has been, you know, really young kid. I think there's a 15-year-old in the Australian Open that's in the third round or second round. And so it's a little bit tougher on the women's side. But definitely college tennis has grown. It's become a really, really high level all across the board, especially with the international part. A lot of teams that can't recruit the top Americans are really getting good international kids and able to compete in the conferences. And you'll see full teams of international student athletes that are fantastic. So it's a global sport, and it's really, really changed everything in that aspect. But yeah, Kevin obviously is fantastic to have that type of person around the program doing so well, and that played college tennis. And I think the fun fact was everyone always told me as a freshman he played number 5. So I think it gives some of our, you know, some of our younger kids maybe.
So whoever you start number 5,
that's right. Yeah, I wish that was the case. Trust me, if that was the case, that'd be great for me. So.
Hey, Evan, it's really good to have you here with us. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. I
appreciate your time, and best of luck here in the spring season.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Evan Clark, head women's tennis coach, here with us at Scotty's Brewhouse and Sports Talk. We're back to wrap things up in a moment. Sports Talk here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Join us here at 2001 South Neal. We're here most every Thursday for the rest of the basketball season, so into March. And $4 pints and $10 Bud Light pitchers here on Thursdays at Scotty's Brewhouse, 2001 and South Neal. We got to get our Globetrotter giveaway. Jason Schutman, I'm going to go with, is our winner tonight. Just drew that out here of those that put in for that. So, Jason, come on up when you can, and we'll get you your Globetrotter tickets. They are at State Farm Center tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. All right, if you're not going to that, there's some other good high school basketball going on, girls and boys.
Yeah, Vermilion County tournament's going on right now over at Palmer Arena in Danville. Boys games tonight and girls title games tomorrow night. I know Colin Likas, our preps coordinator at the News Gazette's over there tonight and tomorrow and Saturday night covering that. And Danville's got a big boys basketball game Friday night. They host Centennial and over in Danville, and the Vikings are really rolling this year, 14-2, ranked 5th in Class 4A in the latest AP poll, and we've got a story on them In Friday's News Gazette, kind of how they are all, they're not just a one-man show. Kendall Moore, their point guard extraordinaire. Drake Sine is kind of the head guy there, but they've got other key components as well. And down in the St. Louis area, down in Belleville, Champaign Central plays Belleville West tomorrow night in the semifinals of a tournament at Belleville East. Belleville West has got E.J. Liddell.
He's pretty good.
He's really good at basketball. I and Tim Finke, Champaign Central.
He's also good at basketball.
Khalil Terry, freshman sensation.
He's good at jumping.
And dunking. Yes.
Yes, a basketball. Good stuff. Matt, thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks to Blake Landa, our on-site producer, engineer, Evan Kahn, behind the scenes. Evan Clark, head women's tennis coach from the U of I, was our guest here today. Thanks to you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow. And then don't forget Illinois men's basketball tomorrow night. 6:30 game day coverage starts, and it's an 8 o'clock tip, the Illini against Wisconsin. CBS World News Roundup is next. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time at the tone, 6 o'clock. Good night.